Kathleen was a mother par excellence. She taught Vanessa mathematics. When Vanessa had found it sometimes difficult to study, she would always find ways to persuade her to go back to her studies. Despite disliking roller skating, she would bring Vanessa every Saturday without fail to the roller skating rink. And there, despite the noise and the children all roller skating, despite having a migraine headache, she would always persist by bringing Vanessa to the roller skating rink. She was an excellent mom in which she encouraged Vanessa to play music. And she would convince her husband to purchase a guitar for her when she was only 12 years old. And she would walk with Vanessa every Saturday afternoon, 6 to 8 miles, just to bring her to play guitar lessons with her teacher. She was an excellent mom because although she was a school teacher and she had her own job, her own schedule, she would always have time for Vanessa, bring her to all her activities like horse riding, all her activities outside of school in terms of sports, she would always attend. She was an excellent mom because she not only attended to the activities, but she would make clothes using different colors and textures and materials just for Vanessa. And Vanessa even said that her mom Kathleen is an illustrated Bible. I love that phrase. Because she would teach and show her what believing in Jesus is all about. Even at times when Vanessa strayed when she was a teenager from the way, she would patiently wait and patiently guide her to our Lord Jesus Christ. She was an excellent mom, a mother par excellence. In the Bible also speaks of God as a mother. And one of the most powerful metaphors that the Bible uses to describe God is the mother metaphor that God often uses. If you have Bibles with you, you may want to turn with me to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 49. I want to read just a few verses to you. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." Verse 15 of Isaiah 49. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. God describes here himself as a mother. But this is within the context when God was speaking to Zion, which is just a little hill in Jerusalem, his own people. And God was here speaking about the salvation that he will bring to the Jews, of how he will bring them back of exile. But here were the Israelites who were very skeptical about God and of God's love. And they would ask God, "God, really, do you really love us? Do you really care for us? I don't feel your love. You talk about all these grand plans of how you love us and will bring us back to you and how you will call people from far away to your kingdom. All of these are just promises. I don't feel it." So verse 14 here is a very painful question that Israel asked God. How do you love us? And at verse 15, God gives the answer. And at verse 16, God gives the cure for the pain. So very briefly, we're going to look at these three things. The very firstly, the pain. The very painful question that Israel asked. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. This is within the context of God giving his speech. And suddenly, it's as if Israel raises his hand and asks God, but all these is just verbosity. It's just talk. Do you really love us? How do we know that you really love us? What is most gracious about God is that he doesn't just say, "I'm speaking here, excuse me, just suck it up." No, 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 God doesn't do that. But he pauses to answer the question that Israel asked at this time. How do you love us? I was a teacher at Florida State University before I became the pastor here. And whenever I give lectures, I would be very enthusiastic bringing out the point. And then suddenly a student right behind the class would raise his hand. And I always would wonder, oh, are you so excited about what I'm saying? Is this a question you're wanting to ask? But usually the student will raise his hand and say, is this in the exam? But God doesn't just brush off what Israel is asking. But God takes time to answer the question. And what is God's answer? God uses a very powerful metaphor to describe himself and his love for Israel. How do you love us? And God says, I love you as a mother. And this is why it says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? How is God like a mother? Two things. Physically, a mother cannot forget the baby at her breast, because from those of us within our congregation right now who are nursing mothers or former nursing mothers would know that physically a nursing mother cannot forget her child, because the milk comes out. The more you feed your child, the more milk it comes. So physically, a nursing mother cannot forget her child. But also emotionally, because medical science tells us that if you nurse your child through breastfeeding, there is a chemical that's released that gives you contentment, joy for the mom as you see your child. As you put your child, hold your child in your arms, there is a chemical that releases, that gives you a satisfaction and a joy of being a mom. And that's why, as a result, mothers love their child unconditionally. In every relationship, there is give and take. In a marriage, there is give and take. If you don't have give and take, the marriage would one day fall apart. And so with a mother and a child, there is always give and take. And for a mother and a child, it is always the mother giving 100% and the child taking 100%. And it's a 24/7 7-day event whereby it's always the mother that gives. So how can a mother forget her child? And this is what God says. How can I forget you? I'm just like the mom. How can I forget you? Because the mother's love is what my love is like for you. But the Bible also tells us that God's love is also not like the mother, in the sense that the Bible says, though she may forget you, I will not forget you. And the Hebrew is very, in fact, the Hebrew says, she will forget you, but I will not forget you. And you may say, how can a mother forget her child? A mother could have Alzheimer's when she gets later older in life, and she may forget the child. A mother may forget the child when the mother enters death, and that's when she will not remember the child. But God is unlike an earthly mother in the sense that he will not forget the child. He will not forget each one of us. And what we see in Kathleen's life, the love for Vanessa, is just a fraction of God's love for us. It's just a shadow of what God's love for us is about. Because God loves us forever and ever. Amen. So, but how does this make us feel? What does this do to us? It changes us. It makes us grateful. But yet we are many times like Israel. We ask God, how do you love us? It's just like a parent. If you've been a parent or you've taken care of children, you know that the more you lavish on the child sometimes doesn't understand. And the child will not understand how much you have lavished upon them, and they take you for granted. But then the test comes when you don't give your child what he or she wants. Then they will start complaining. They will say, Mom, why are you not giving me what I want? You don't love me, you don't love me, you don't love me. But if you're a parent or you've never taken care of a child, it makes you want to blow up, right? Why? Because you do love the child. You've lavished so much on the child, and all you want to say is, you twerp, can't you see that I've lavished so much on you? Why don't you see it? But words are words, and God can make big promises to us. But what has He shown to demonstrate that He loves us? What is the cure for this ache in our hearts when trouble comes into our lives or tribulation comes into our lives and we start questioning God like Israel? God, do you love us? Verse 16, God gives the cure. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. See, I have engraved you in the palm of the hands. God doesn't just say it. He says it with actions. He says, I've engraved you in the palm of your hands. We do know in ancient culture of slaves having their names engraved, in the master's name engraved onto their bodies. But we've never heard of a master having the names of slaves engraved in the palm of their hands. But then if you look at the Hebrew, which is Hebrew text, carefully, the word engraved here is not tattooed, because that's what we normally think, that God has tattooed us on the palm of His hands. The word for engraved here actually means to take a hammer and chisel it into the palm of your hands. So what God has done, He has taken our names, taken a hammer, and He has chiseled it bloodily into His own hands until His hands bleed. That's God's way of saying, I don't just love you with words. I do it with an action. I take a hammer and I drill it in. And that's how God shows us that He truly loves us. Centuries later, there was a man called Thomas. He was also doubting if Jesus truly was alive and truly loved him. And he asked Jesus, can I see the marks on your hands? Can I feel the wounds on your hands? And when Jesus opened his hands have been pierced. How? People have taken nails and hammer and have driven it into his own hands. How has God loved us? In Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross for each one of us. That's how much God loves us. Not just through words, but through actions. Brennan Manning is a famous writer and also a Catholic priest. Brennan Manning once recalled a time when he was just a teenager. He had a good friend by the name of Ray Brennan. Ray Brennan was not just a good friend, they grew up together, they were very close mates, and they would do all kinds of things together. They attended school together, they always had lunch together, they double dated together, they had fun together. But during the time, they were both enlisted into the army, and both Ray and his friend Brennan, Brennan Manning attended the army. And while they were in the army, they were fighting a war. And during this time, while they were fighting a war, they were in this little shelter as they were waiting for the next command. And as they were waiting for the next command of what to do, a little hand grenade flew into where they were. And as soon as this little hand grenade flew into where they were, Ray, the friend, dropped his a chocolate bar as he was eating at this time, and he quickly jumped onto the hand grenade. And the hand grenade exploded. But Brennan Manning was saved because of Ray's sacrifice. Brennan Manning became a priest, and later he was asked as what priests would do to take up a new name for himself. And he chose the word Brennan because that was his friend Ray's last name, and he called himself Brennan Manning. Many, many years later, Brennan Manning visited Ray's mom at their home many years later. And they were sitting and chatting about Ray. And it was when Brennan asked Ray's mom, Do you think Ray ever loved me? Do you think my friend Ray ever loved me? It was then the mom suddenly changed and sternly looked at Brandon and said, "My son Ray has given his life for you. How can you ask whether he loves you? He has given his life for you. What more can you ask? What more can you ask? What more can you ask? Of course, he loves you." If you're sitting here and wondering, does God love you? He's allowed nails and hammer to be driven into his son's hands. What more does he have to do to show that he loves us? Let us pray. Father, as we come into your presence this morning, forgive us, Lord God, when we ask in our hearts, "God, do you care for us? Do you love me?" Yes, 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 there are all these promises that I've heard, but are they just pure rhetoric? Are they just verbosity exemplified? Father, you remind us that you love us like a mother loves a child. How can a nursing mother forget her child? But you're more than just a nursing mother, because mothers will forget us. And you have shown that through your son's death on the cross. Father, I pray for anyone who does not know you or is questioning you at this time, that Father, you will speak to their hearts, that their hearts will be open to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, to turn to you and say, "God, I want to be loved by you." And that's what Kathleen wants, that all of us would come to know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. So Lord, do your work in our lives. Comfort us today, because you understand you are more than the nursing mother who will not forget us. And you have driven the nails into your own hands to show that you love us. In Jesus' name.